Next up, we have difficult valuations, how to determine value on complex assets. I'll give our panelists a minute to get settled. Our esteemed panelists today, we have Catherine Stone Curtis. She is special counsel at McGinnis Lockridge. She also serves as a panel trustee for the Southern District of Texas, and she represents both debtors and creditors in bankruptcy cases. We also have as our additional panelist, Stephen Sather. He is a director with Barron & Neuberger and is head of the firm's bankruptcy practice. He represents debtors, creditors, and trustees and has served as a Subchapter 5 trustee. With that, I cede the floor. Thank you.
All right. Good morning. Can everybody hear me? All right. What we're going to primarily focus on today is looking at, and our materials focus on this, different ways that assets will come into the estate, and then different ways that you need to gather information at the outset, when you're representing a debtor, so that you can adequately prepare for issues relating to value, because that's going to be really important, you know, in what I do, right, as a trustee, looking at value, what equity, right, there is for the estate. I want to thank Steve Sather in particular for preparing these materials. I'm also going to be discussing a couple of concepts that are in some recent ABI articles. If anyone's interested in those, please let me know. So in general, a lot of the cases discussing valuation talk about, particularly with real estate issues, right, that it's an, quote, art, not a science. And so I want to preface everything that we're going to say today that if you have an asset that you know is going to come into your debtor's estate, you really need to make sure that you get an adequate appraisal and that, because ultimately valuation is expert-based, right? I mean, you're going to, if it's going to be contested, that's how those issues are going to come in. So you need to make sure that you have knowledge of what appraiser or adequate professional is going to be able to look at that. Also, there are various tax issues and concepts that would come up in that context. And so you're going to need to make sure that your client has a good CPA or tax counsel. Go ahead.
And, we could only wish that we had good tax returns, a good CPA, and good books and records in a consumer case, because that's often the exception rather than the rule. But in terms of best practices, that's certainly what you want to see.
Right. And I think what comes up, particularly in a Chapter 7 context, and I think this would be the same in Chapter 11, is that you don't forget about basis, right? Because you need to think about not just when you're doing the intake, how did this person acquire the property? How is title vested? What was the value when they purchased it? Because those basis information is going to be an important part of the trustee's analysis in determining, is there going to be any tax associated with selling this asset, and ultimately how much equity is going to be available for the estate. So just don't forget about those issues as well. I want to kind of start off by saying, the materials talk about various ways that different kinds of assets can come into the estate. One of the first that we discuss is marital property, okay? And so if you have an individual that's coming in your office and they're married and their spouse isn't filing, you need to make sure that your intake process discusses the entire marital estate, including any pre- and post-marital agreements. So, Steve, I want to throw it to you. What do you do as debtor's counsel during your intake process with respect to non-filing spouse issues, and what are some of the things that you get with respect to value? And maybe we'll start with, like, LLC interests or business interests.
Yeah, with a business interest, yeah, if it's a closely held business, there's not going to be a third-party valuation.